Well, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I invite you to turn with me back to the Gospel of Mark. We're making our way through this great Gospel, and we've come to a parable section. So we looked at, I guess it's been a couple weeks ago now, the parable of the soils, the first part of chapter 4, and now we come to another parable. And we're going to be chapter 4. Verse 21, I want to read through verse 25. Mark chapter 4, verse 21. If you would please stand, if you're able, for the reading of God's Word. The Word, it's inerrant, it's infallible, and it is the inspired Word of God. This comes from God Himself to us, so let us listen carefully. And he said, that being Jesus, to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is the word of the Lord. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us even today through your word, because it's living, and it's perfect, and it's true. So, Father, we pray by the Holy Spirit that you would come and talk to us this morning, that we would hear from you, that you would encourage us, convict us, and nourish our souls, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, maybe you know the author, Robert Louis Stevenson. He wrote such books as, I think it was Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde and Treasure Island back in the 1800s. And when he was a young boy, he was often sick and stuck at home. And the story goes that night after night, the nurse would find him, his face up, pressed up against the frosty, cold window of his bedroom. He was mesmerized by something that he was looking at outside. And the nurse, of course, was worried that he'd catch a chill, as back then, and he'd get sick. But Robert never budged from that window. He's glued to what he saw out there. And what it was, what captivated him, was this old lamplighter making his way down a dark street, stopping at each lamppost one by one as he lit the lamp. And the young boy Robert would watch as one by one the lights would appear in the darkness. He said of the lamplighter, it's as if this man is poking holes in the darkness. Poking holes in the darkness. What a picture that is. That lamplighter, he didn't create the light, but he just carried that light. He didn't give the whole city light at once. He just faithfully lit one lamp at a time. And slowly and methodically and persistently, as this lamplighter went down the street, the darkness, it gave way to light. And beloved, that's your calling. That's my calling. We are to be lamplighters. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at the beginning of Mark chapter 4, and we saw that the seed of God's word, it falls on all these different types of soils. And we talked about accepting God's word and believing it and embracing it. And by God's grace, that word, it's taken root in your heart, and that newness of who you are and that being a new creation, that light of Christ, it now shines and burns brightly within you. But here's what the question Jesus asks in our passage today. After looking at those parables of the four soils and falling on the good soils, the question Jesus is asking in this parable is now what? Now what? Now that you're a believer, now that you have the light within you, what are you going to do with that light. You see, it's one thing to have the light, but it's an entire different thing to what you're going to let that light shine or not. So this morning, Jesus is going to challenge us with what I see as three different essential truths. Number one is don't hide your light. Don't hide your light. God's word is not to be hidden. Number two, don't ignore God's word. Really listen. Really obey. And number three, once you have that word, let God's word flourish in you and out of you. Because the more you grow, the better your light shines. So let me ask you this morning, this is my hope. Are you ready to be a lamplighter? Are you ready to be a lamplighter? Are you ready to go out and poke holes in the darkness? And my hope is this, that as we work through this parable, that that would be truly your calling as you leave this place. Let us look at point number one. God's word is not to be hidden. So if you look at verse 21 with me again. You know, here we have the image of a lamp being brought into a home. And during the first century, just like the sower of the soils that we looked at a couple weeks ago, this would have been a very common sight during that time period of bringing a lamp into the house. Now, this is somewhat hard for us to imagine today, right? You didn't have electricities back in your homes back then, but today in our homes, we're full of electricity, except if you lost it during the ice storm, of course. But normally, if you're like my home, every single light is on in the house. I mean, it's literally glowing in the dark. But during that time, they didn't have any of that. It was, if the sun goes down, it's completely pitch black, and you would need a lamp to be able to see anything. And the lamp itself was small, and it was made out of clay, and it'd be filled up with oil, and they put a wick in it, and they light it. And of course, when you brought it into the home, you'd set it on the table in the middle of the room. And you did this, of course, to provide as much light as you can around the whole space that you're lighting. So that's kind of the picture. And Jesus now, he's asking this rhetorical question regarding the lamp. Would you put a lamp under the bed? Would you put it under a basket? Oh, of course not. It's a rhetorical question. It'd be ridiculous to do such a thing. It would make no sense at all. Why even waste your time even lighting the lamp if you're just going to go hide it, right? Now, this is a parable. So we're looking here at what the lamp represents. Of course, it represents Jesus. But it also represents each and every single one of us here. If you are a believer, you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you too are the lamp. Now, how do I know that? Well, here it is, John 8, verse 12. This verse, it begins where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. But Jesus doesn't just stop there. He says, I am the light of the world. And then he continues and he says, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What Jesus is saying here, he's saying this, you were born into the darkness, and you were walking in the darkness. There was at one point where there was not a glimmer of light in you. Complete darkness filled your soul. You were born into sin, and you were completely separated from God. But by God's grace, this transformation happens. The Holy Spirit, it prepares your heart to be not the rocky soil or the thorny soil, but the good soil. No longer do you have a hard and shallow and thorny heart. And by God's grace, your heart's been prepared to receive the seed, the very word of God. And by his grace, you've accepted it. By God's grace, you're now part of the heavenly family. You've become part of the family. You're a brother or a sister in Christ. And this amazing thing happens. Your soul, once completely dark, It's now light. Your complete being is full of this bright radiance. It's the Holy Spirit that's living inside you. And I want to be clear as we continue on about something. When Jesus says we are to be lights in the world, he's not putting a burden on us, putting weight on your shoulders that you must carry on in your own strength. This isn't about working up enough courage and mustering up enough boldness. It's not about trying harder or doing it your own willpower. It's none of that. It's only about one thing. It's about what God has already done in you. By God's grace, and only by God's grace, the Holy Spirit has taken up residence in you. He regenerated your dead heart. He opened your blind eyes. He caused you to be born again. And when you're been born again, you become a new creation. Beloved, you're no longer in darkness. You are the light in the Lord. And think about this. Think of it this way. Does the sun have to try hard to give off light? These lights, do they have to work in some certain way to muster up the energy to shine? Of course not. It's just what they are. It's simply what they are. And if you're in Christ, shining is simply what you are. And now that we have this wonderful thing, the light of Christ in us, the light that we have in us, we cannot hide it. We cannot hide it. Just as it'd be foolish to hide a lamp in a darkened room, so too it'd be foolish to hide the light of God within us in a darkened, fallen world. God's word is not to be hidden from the lost. It's not to be hidden in this broken world of ours. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus declares to us in chapter 5, beginning in verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven." Beloved, here's why all this matters. Here's the point of all of what I just said. Lost people matter to God. Lost people matter to God, and therefore, they must matter to us. This world is in darkness. Deep, soul-destroying darkness. Apart from Christ, they are spiritually dead. They're under the very wrath of God. They are perishing. And you and I, as believers, we have something. We have the light. We have the answer. We have the answer. We have the only message that can save these people who are in darkness. You see, you too once walked in that same darkness, but somebody, and each one of us can think of that somebody, shared the light with us. They shared the light with you. They didn't keep it hidden. Someone loved you enough to tell you about Jesus. And because they didn't hide their light, each one of you are sitting here today. This is so important. This is the question each of us has to answer. And I want you to go home today and think long and hard about this question. The light that's within you, that light that you have, that light of Christ, are you hiding it under the bed? Are you hiding it under the basket? You know, each of us can think. People in our lives that are right now, they are just literally one heartbeat away from a Christless eternity. And you have the light that can save them. Now hear me. God doesn't call you to shine it on your own strength. He shines it through the Holy Spirit. But when you share the gospel, just share God with a coworker. It's Christ that's speaking through you. When you tell your neighbor about what God's done in your life, it's the Holy Spirit that's giving you the words. You're just the vessel. You're just the lamp. God is the power. God is the light that will bring forth the person into the light. So the question this morning isn't, can I do this? Am I able to do this? The question is, will I let God do this through me? Will you be a willing vessel? Will you make yourself available? Will you step out in faith, trusting that the same God who saved you is able to save that person and point other people to Christ? Beloved, lost people matter to God, and therefore they must matter to us. God's word is not to be made hidden. It's not. And I pray that by his grace, we will not hide it. Well, that brings us to our second point. God's word is not to be ignored. Look at verse 23. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Over and over again, Jesus here is calling on you to listen. He just doesn't want you to listen. He wants you to listen carefully. I love how the Message Paraphrase Bible puts this verse. It puts it this way. It says, are you listening to this? Are you really listening? Are you listening to this? Really listening? The same call to Jesus by Jesus is found in chapter 4 in several places. It's verse 3 and verse 9, 13, now here where we are in 23. And again, he says to listen carefully in verse 24. Jesus keeps repeating this over and over again. Are you listening to this? Are you really listening? So why does Jesus keep repeating this? Well, he knows this, doesn't he? He knows how easy it is for us to hear without really hearing it. So let me ask you, how do you know if somebody's really listening to you? Well, I think one example is if they actually do what you said for them to do. Now, I'm not saying this has ever happened to me, but if my wife tells me 5 items that I need to get at the grocery store, and all you husbands are getting ready to be poked in the gut here in a second, but if she tells me 5 items to get at the grocery store, and I get to the grocery store, and I put in my basket 2 of those items, and then I have to call her. It's like, what'd you tell me to get again? Well, I wasn't really listening, was I? Hearing the word and acting on the word of God is of the greatest importance. You see, this parable, this passage, it's also about you and me. It's about how well we listen to God's word and how well we listen to what Jesus is saying. God's word is not to be ignored. How well do you hear the word of God? Does it go in one ear and out the other? Do you listen passively or are you listening attentively? Do you really hear God's word? Are you really listening to God's word? I mean, think about this morning as you came to worship today even. What was your attitude? Were you thinking, oh, I just hope this can get over real quick and trip sermon isn't too long so I can get to lunch? Do you get distracted? Do you start thinking about tomorrow and what you need to do for the rest of the week, or even this afternoon, of what you have to get ready for the Super Bowl. Or did you come hungry? Did you come saying, Lord, speak to me. I want to hear from you today. Are you ready to be challenged? Challenged by God's word? Are you ready to be convicted by God's word? Do you find hope in God's word? God's word is such a blessing. Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all of his word, all of scripture is breathed out by God. And it's good for you. It's profitable for teaching and for reproof and correction and training and everything and all of righteousness. You see, what Jesus says here in verse 23, it's in the imperative. This is something you must do. You don't have a choice. It's a command by Jesus, but it's also emphatic. He says, anyone. If anyone has ears to hear, this isn't just for me as the pastor or for elders or leaders in the church. It's for every single one of you and me. Jesus is directly speaking to each one of us this morning. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. So are you hearing this? Is it penetrating your heart? Is it penetrating your mind? Is it penetrating your soul? Are you doing what Jesus has told you to do? God's word is not to be ignored. It's to be lived out each and every day. It just doesn't end here as we close the doors to this place at 12 o'clock today. It's the rest of the week. Psalm 119, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's given us such a wonderful gift of this Bible that we hold in his hands. It's the very living word. And it gives us specific guidance of all of life. We don't just come to church to fill some religious obligation and check it off the box. We don't do that. We don't open our Bibles just once. We don't listen to sermons just to gather a little bit more information. That we come to hear from God himself. We come to be changed by God. We come to worship him and to honor him and glorify him. And as we hear his word, it's living and it's true. And it's life. And we're meeting with the living God through this word. It's a blessing. And when we hear it and when we truly hear it, when we really listen, with our hearts open and we're ready to be challenged and convicted and to change in our sinful ways. God speaks to us. He convicts us. He comforts us. He guides us. He corrects us. He transforms our very lives into the likeness of Christ. The question is, are you really hearing? Now here's the beauty of all this, where it all comes together in our third and last point. God's word is to flourish in and out of us. So we talked about that bright lamp, the one that attracts people, the one that pokes holes in the darkness even. And it's available to every single one of us. If you are a believer, you have that light in you. This isn't just for pastors. It isn't for the super spiritual. It's every believer. How is that? If we're to be found as hard workers, we got to be hard workers where we make God our top priority through his word and through prayer and through worship. For hard workers, then God's word will flourish within us, and it will flourish out of us as a bright light. But this is the reality. Spiritual growth, it requires work. It requires effort. Not effort to earn God's favor. That only comes by grace alone, through faith alone, but rather every the effort to use as a means of grace that God has given us. You see, you don't just accidentally grow in godliness. You don't do it. You don't just stumble all of a sudden into spiritual maturity. You don't wake up one day down the road and find yourself more like Christ without having first invested the time. Time in His Word, time in prayer, time coming Sundays for worship. See, spiritual growth that we have and becoming more and more like Christ, it requires intentionality. It requires discipline. It requires hard work. And of course, that sounds shocking, doesn't it, to a lot of Christians. So many Christians today and so many churches are so afraid of a works-based righteousness that we've taken the pendulum and we just swung it so far the other way, to the very extreme, that we've made Christian living sound like it's nothing, that it's just completely passive, that we just sit there, as if we just sit back and we let God do everything while we do nothing. You've probably heard the phrase, let go and let God. There's books about it. There's songs written about it. Even bumper stickers I've seen with this phrase on it. But nowhere in the Bible is that taught. Let go and let God. It's not what the Bible teaches. Yes, don't get me wrong again. It is all of grace, and God is the one who works in us. And yes, we're utterly dependent on the Holy Spirit. There is no doubt. But God works through means of grace. And one of those means of grace is our diligent use of His Word. We went through Philippians last year. Paul says in Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Did you catch that? Work out your salvation. For God is working in you. It's both. It's both. Not to earn salvation, but to live out the salvation that we have already received from God. Or how about what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Train yourselves for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Train yourself. Train yourself for godliness. That's active. That's intentional. Again, that's hard work. For consider 2 Peter 1, verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. That is a lot of work. Can we do it perfect? No, but we are to make every effort. We work at it. Not sit back and let it happen. Not let go and let God. Make every effort. So what does this look like practically? This is one I always have a hard time with, but it might mean that you set your alarm a little bit earlier so you can read your Bible before the day gets away from you and crazy. It means you turn off Netflix or Hulu or whatever one you watch and spend more time in God's Word, spend more time in prayer. It means that Sunday mornings, it is a priority. It's the number one priority on your calendar, week in and week out. It means you join a Bible study even when you're tired. It means you work at it. It means you live it out. It means that you make every effort. And here's the amazing promise. If you work at it, what does God then say? He says, I will bless it. Look at verse 24. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. and still more will be added to you. You see, you invest time in God's Word, and God gives you understanding. You invest time in prayer, and God gives you just this beautiful intimacy with Him. You invest time here in worship, and God gives you this just amazing joy to be in His presence and to be in presence with other believers. You get in what you put out, and not only that, but God adds even more to it. But if you don't invest, if you don't work at it, if you neglect these wonderful means of grace that God has given you, even that, even what little bit you may have, it'll be taken away. So are you working at your spiritual growth? Are you making God your top priority? Are you investing? Are you investing in the means of grace that God has given you? God's Word is to flourish in us. And when it flourishes in us, it flourishes out of us. But it requires our diligent and faithful, grace-empowered effort. It requires effort. So thinking back to the young author Robert Louis Stevenson, pressed against that cold window, watching that lamplighter, and he's poking holes in the darkness. Beloved, that's who you are. It's what you're called to be. You're not the source of light because Jesus is, but you are the lamplighter. You're the one who carries this light out these doors and into Hickory and into the darkness of this world. But here's what happens when you listen, when you really act on what Jesus is saying here, when you are really listening. Are you really listening to God's Word, really acting on it? When you're working hard at that spiritual growth and you're investing in the prayer and the Scripture and being here at worship, and that light doesn't just shine, but it just shines brighter and brighter. And you leave here and you go to work and your coworker sees you handle conflict so much differently than everybody else. Your neighbor notices the peace that you have in whatever horrendous trial or storm that you might face. Your family sees you respond to trials with faith instead of all-out fear. They see something different in you. They see the light. And it's attractive. And they want it. But here's the other side. And it is a warning, because if you're neglecting God's Word, if you're not praying, if you're not growing, your light, what does it do? It dims. It may not go out, but it dims. Nobody's noticing you. Nobody's asking questions, because you look just like everybody else in this world. You complain like everyone else. You panic like everyone else. You cut corners like everyone else. There's just really nothing any different if you're not willing to work at God's Word. There's nothing attractive, nothing that makes what people want what you have. So my question to you is, your light, is your lamp burning bright, or is it dimmed? And as you go out, I know some of you are thinking, Pastor, I'm just, you know, when I hear all this and thinking about, you know, sharing God with somebody or sharing Christ or thinking about, you know, the gospel and how do I do that with somebody? You know, I'm just not qualified. I just don't know enough. I'm too weak to be able to do that. But listen to me. The picture here is of this lamplighter. He didn't create the flame. He just carried it. He He kept his lamp full of oil, tended to it faithfully, and that's all. That is it. That is all God is asking each one of us to do. To carry that light. To stay in his word, to keep praying, to keep growing so your lamp burns brighter and brighter and brighter. When you do, you're out in the world and people will notice. You don't have to sit there and tell them all about the exact point of the gospel. Just tell them God loves you. They'll see something different. They'll want what you have. And when that happens, that's when you get to the point. That you do get the point of the Jesus. So as you go from this place, go out this week. Don't hide it. Don't ignore it. Don't neglect it, but let it flourish. Be the lamplighter. Will you go out into this world poking holes in the darkness? Because there is a lot of darkness out there. But poking holes in the darkness, giving light to the world that desperately, desperately needs it.